Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
Amen, amen. Wow, wow. Nikki and I are pretty tired. I don't know about you guys. We took a red eye, got into Vancouver at about midnight, got to our hotel about 1 in the morning last night, flew from Vancouver into Edmonton, got here by 8:30, drove straight to church, made it halfway through first service, reached 9 a.m., 11:30 a.m., here we are at 5. And it's good to be here. Good to be here. We were in Fresno, and I wasn't ministering. Nikki was. I just flew down with her to support her. She was doing an event with Heidi Baker and Francis Chan, Stephanie Gretzinger, Jeremy Riddle, Damon Thompson, Corey Russell, a bunch of just amazing people, and our friends, Maddie Montgomery and Derek Carr. If you don't know who Derek Carr is, Derek Carr is the quarterback for the Los Angeles, used to be Oakland Raiders. They're now the Las Vegas Raiders. They're moving. But Derek's a dear friend and just burns for Jesus. So they went back to his home state, California, Fresno, his home city, and decided to rent out the Save Mart Center and pack 12,000 people in it for the last few days. And we just were in there worshiping, and it was awesome. So Nikki got to be a part of that, leading worship. We've just felt like, you know what, we needed to go do that, but at the same time, be here on Sunday and not miss out what God's doing. And I shared the first two services this morning. There's no place like home. I'll tell you, I was in that auditorium with 12,000 people watching Nikki lead, and she feels the same way I do. I wouldn't trade that for what we have here for nothing. I'm telling you, what God is doing in this congregation to us is so special, so precious. I couldn't wait to get back to our little community of believers here that are just burning for family revival, family devotion, revival, and hope. And so that's what we're after, and we're just so thankful. And I asked the Lord, I said, God, while I was there, I said, Lord, I want to go back with something. You know, I know I'm here to support Nikki and just champion her, cheer her on. But I asked the Lord, though, for two things while I was there. Two things I was asking the Father while we were there. I said, Father, I pray, my prayer was that this church, this local assembly here, would be graced with the gift of spiritual hunger, which is a gift. There's a lot of Christians that started out hungry, and many of us can testify. Or maybe we've been hungry in previous seasons, hungrier than we are right now, and hunger's a gift from God. And the promise is He will fill those that are hungry. I've been asking the Lord, grace us with the spiritual gift of hunger above any other spiritual gift of faith and prophecy and tongues and interpretation of tongues. I want to be graced with hunger. Jesus said, I believe it's in John 6:44, I believe, don't quote me just exactly on that verse number, but he said this, he said, no man can come unless the Father draws him first. What I believe that speaks of is hunger in your heart. Yep, there it is. No man can come to me unless the Father who sends me draws him. I believe that's speaking of God gracing someone with hunger, and that hunger causes them to respond to the Lord. And so that was the first thing. And I believe, now when I pray that, I'm not praying like as a wish. When I prayed that, I felt faith connect to that God's going to give us the grace and the gift of hunger. Second thing I've been asking the Father is this, that Edmonton, the city of Edmonton, would be the easiest city to be born again in the entire nation of Canada. That this city would be the easiest, that there would be a grace on ministries in this city, a grace on this city, even as a whole, that it would be a thin veil when I say a thin veil into the realm of the kingdom, that it would just be so easy. That I mean the type of Jesus movement type salvation where you don't have to try and people get saved. Just sneeze and somebody say, God bless you, and somebody just get born again. Like just easy. And I'm believing for that. And I'm not asking that as a wish. I have faith that the city of Edmonton is going to be the easiest city to be born again in the nation of Canada. And I'm so excited about that. And so I know Nikki's probably way tireder than I am, but I asked her to preach tonight. And so why don't you stretch your hands towards Pastor Nikki? Father, we pray for a grace to come on her. God, I thank you. God, that what she does on platforms, she is 10 times more like you in private. Father, I thank you for the grace of hunger, the gift of hunger that you've given Nikki. I pray, God, that, Lord, as she teaches, that there would just be a connection, Father, with the hearts of people in this room. And I thank you for the journey that she's been on. I thank you, Father, that through her life and the journey, the things that she's had to walk through, that as you've taught her to walk with you closely, that out of her story and her journey, that it would bless others this evening. And I pray for a strength to come on her tonight to preach with authority, boldness, and fire. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm just going to sit right here. So can you guys hang out for a bit? You can go. You can go. You can go. You can go. You can't go. You can stay. No, that was more like, you get a break, you get a break, you get a break, you don't get a break. If I don't get a break, you don't get a break. Just joking. No, this is the reality, though, is that it is life-giving for me to do what I do, and I am energized when I do it. I don't ever feel, I mean, my body is tired, but like, I was telling Holly upstairs that I am starting to really love how exhausting these days are because my flesh is so tired, but my spirit is so willing. And I find that I'm just like way more like, it's like my flesh just is like, I have nothing left to give. So my spirit's like, yes, I win. So I'm loving being exhausted in that way. But I'm not really exhausted. It's just my body. It's just flesh. It's just a flesh wound. I got to California, and I'm just going to talk a bit. I'm actually probably going to teach, preach, sing. I'm missing one. Talk. Tonight. I got to California, and the pollen was terrible. And I never have allergies, and so I'm all, like, gross. So I had other people sing tonight, but there was a song that I felt like God started to stir in me this week that is going to be part of my message tonight. And last week, something just got reignited in me. I don't know how many of you guys were here last Sunday night. So you guys were here to experience a little bit of, I mean, hopefully it wasn't just my own moment, but like, I know Chris was like, when Nikki's having a moment, I leave her alone because it happens so rarely. But I really believe that there was something that ignited and sparked in all of us. And it was just returning to our first love. I was doing worship at the Women on the Frontlines conference. And for those of you who don't know, I grew up at Evangel Pentecostal from like grade 6 until after high school. All of my like forming years were there, and they had an amazing discipleship program. An amazing pastor, Bob Gal, was my pastor, and he's amazing. So I was just like so blessed, and I know that God used all these puzzle pieces to create just the perfect environment for me to thrive as a teenager and grow in God. I knew I was called to the ministry when I was in grade 7. I never got high. I never slept around with boys. I never got drunk. I just always was reserved for the Lord. He just kept me in this safe place. He actually allowed me to be bullied at an early age, huh? Oh, kids, you can go. The kids can go. You are released to the back. Just sign them in if you haven't signed your kids in, but the kids can go. The kids are released. What was I saying? Oh, the Lord allowed me to be bullied because blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he really wanted me to step into the kingdom of heaven at an early age. I didn't know that that's what it was, but I got separated from the world and it caused me to run to Jesus. And it caused me to find acceptance and security in the family of God. And so that's my testimony. That's a huge part of my testimony. And a lot of, I'm just going to kind of shoot from the hip. I'm just talking. So a lot of my story comes, and a lot of my testimony, and a lot of my message, actually, I love talking about the kingdom of heaven. I love talking about how we practically apply Christianity, how we practically can walk Christianity out. I think the body of Christ needs that. I think there's a lot of like amazing, amazing prophetic, charismatic preaching and teaching. I'm just like, I love practical application. So I'm usually the one that's going to come with like all the steps and like, here's what we're dealing with. And this is what we need to get better at. And here's how we're going to get better at it. And here are your steps. That's kind of how I like to roll. But tonight I kind of have a hodgepodge. I know we're talking about hunger. So last Sunday, something ignited in me. I was at Evangel leading worship, and I went upstairs to go look at something, and I walked along the balcony, and I was sharing this last week that I just was walking on the same balcony that I walked on when I first raised my hands for the first time. This is what I did. I was walking and I was in grade 7 and we were having a prayer meeting. And I remember just like praying, and I did this with my hand. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe my hands are lifted. Oh my goodness. My hand is lifted. Oh my gosh, I hope my parents don't see me. Oh my gosh. And then I just kept praying with my hand like this. And it was like the biggest deal to me. And it was this balcony was the same balcony that I first worship danced, like from one end to the other, backflips and jumping jacks. And I was just like flipping out for Jesus on this balcony by myself when I was in grade 7. And so that for me was like my, like this special place that I've been gone for 13 years and haven't been back to. So there was something that like reignited in me. So like last Sunday night, I unexpectedly just kind of went in that direction of just returning to our first love, returning to our first works, going back to the place, going back to that first altar that you made. I don't know about you guys, but for me, whenever God's taking me through something and when he's teaching me something, I end up writing a song, and that's kind of like my altar. That's me building an altar and remembering the revelation that he gave me and remembering what he brought me through and remembering what he did in my life and the lights that went on and the stuff that he got rid of. I just write a song and then that's it. And I'll have to probably teach on a lot of them because you guys have heard them, but you don't really know how deep a lot of them are. Like Rhythm of the Wind is like my marriage song. When I'm like struggling, I'm like, I deny myself, I submit to the rhythm of the wind. Like all of these things are like, these are the songs of my life. So I probably need to teach a lot more on what those are. But tonight, I want to talk about hunger. I want to talk about our appetite. I want to talk about intimacy and just testify honestly about the faithfulness of God. That's kind of like an ongoing theme for tonight, about just his faithfulness in when we're intimate with him, when we do return to our first love. I have a really cool testimony. But I do want to first of all just teach on appetite. The Bible says that he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness will be filled. I think in the body of Christ, we oftentimes talk or sing about hunger, especially in the charismatic world. We do use that language a lot about hungering for God. But that looks so different for everybody, and even how it manifests seems to be so different. So we don't even really know necessarily if it's like happening. But I think for me, hunger is when I'm desiring God, when I am wanting him above anything else. And my first initial reaction to a situation, or even if I have spare time, is to go because I'm hungry for him. I want that. Matthew 5:6, the Passion says, how enriched you are when you crave righteousness in you, for you will inherit the earth. Luke 6:21, this is the Passion again. How filled you become when you are consumed with hunger and desire, for you will be completely satisfied. There's a promise that the Lord gives us that when we are hungry for him, when we desire him, he's going to meet us. And I think sometimes, like, this language, maybe this is just me, but for me, this language is so often used in church that it kind of loses its merit. And so I have a really awesome testimony that I kind of want to share now, but I want to wait till I'm done teaching on this, about his faithfulness when you hunger, when you press into his presence. He who drinks of the water will never thirst again. It is the truth. The appetite is our appetite, for an example, is a natural desire to fulfill a need. I love how Bill Johnson says that when there is no hunger, that that is a sign that there's a problem. You know, like if your kid is sick and they're not eating, that's a sign that there's something wrong. So when there's not a hunger inside of us for the things of God, that means there's something that's become stagnant in our hearts. And I like to say it in this way: if there's ever been a time in your life where you were more passionate, where you were more on fire, where you read your Bible more, where you worshiped with more intentionality than you are right now, I am bold enough to say that you probably are in a lukewarm state, or you've backslidden from that place. I think that as Christians, we think, well, I'm not getting high, I'm not drinking, I'm not sleeping around, so I'm not backslidden. But lukewarm is cold and hot put together. You can come to church on Sunday morning and you can raise your hands and you can sing and worship, but then live cold the rest of your life. That's still lukewarm, or cold the rest of the week. There is an everlasting peace and fulfillment that comes from shifting your appetite to the things of God and off the things of this world. It's just like we talked about this morning, like there's a lot of people on the keto diet. And I'll just use it in this way. Like if I'm eating fast food for a month long, what is my body going to crave? Fast food. If I cut myself off from all sugar and I just strictly eat vegetables and I go back to eating sugar, my body's going to get shocked. I might even throw up. So the reality is, that's just an inside joke because nothing. There's just some people. There are some people that do that and then they throw up because their body is not used to all of the fat or sugars that they haven't been eating. It could be anybody in this room. But the reality is I want my inner sanctuary to truly be at the place where I have been consuming the healthy things. There was a quote that we put out recently that said something like, it was my quote, so I should probably know it, but it was, you are always feeding your spirit something. Whether it's good or bad is up to you. And it's the truth. We are constantly, whether you're meaning to or not, whether it's subconscious or not, you are feeding your spirit something. Whether you're turning the radio on and it's secular music or whatever it is, you're still feeding your spirit. If you're turning on the Bible while you sleep, you're feeding your spirit. And there's just something really important about our inner sanctuary being healthy and being in a place where if we were to step into a craving that's not healthy, that we go, ugh. Just like if I were to be strictly eating vegetables and then all of a sudden eat a Big Mac, my body's going to reject that. My body is going to probably not like that and I'll probably get sick. That's what we should be feeling spiritually if we are healthy spiritually. When we come in contact with something that's not of God, we should feel it. That's called discernment. That's called the Holy Ghost on the inside of us saying, So repeat after me. I control what I crave. I control what I crave. When you eat and crave worldly, fleshly fulfillments, it's a never-ending cycle. How many of you guys have ever been in that place where you maybe got in some like heated fellowship with your spouse the night before? Or maybe you were like binge watching a show on Netflix. Like, let's just say it's like The Walking Dead or something. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying, let's just say that's what it was. And you wake up the next morning thinking about zombies. Or you wake up the next morning with this like feeling from maybe the heated fellowship you had gotten in the night before. There's something about it lingering inside of you. And it becomes the thing you meditate on. Without realizing it, you start meditating on. Have you ever feel, I mean, it's okay. I've been there. I did it. Like, I've done it. I've binge watched a show and then woke up the next morning and that show is still on my mind, still floating around in my heart and my spirit, my brain. And I realized, like, I would rather wake up in the morning and like scripture be floating around in my spirit, or like the things of God be floating around in my spirit. So that's just an example. That's a practical example of what happens when our appetite starts to crave unhealthy things for our spirit. So the reality is, what I guess the point that I'm making is that what we're craving is going to determine our appetite, and our appetite will determine our hunger. If you are constantly feeding yourself sugar, your body will crave that. But if you give yourself vegetables and healthy food, your body is turned off to the thought of greasy burger. Same in the spirit. When you're feeding yourself the word, that is what you will crave. I believe people, the church, and even the unsaved are hungry. Like, unsaved people are hungry for the supernatural. There's a stirring. There is a brewing in the hearts of people, but they don't know what they're hungry for. They go searching for, like, all these young people and even people that are like dabbling in witchcraft, they want the supernatural. They want to encounter the spirit realm, because we actually were created to. We were created to encounter him. We were created to be in fellowship with him. We were created for our spirit to be in communion with his spirit. So when that's not there, their spirit is looking for something. And I feel like the body of Christ, or like church in general, like, we've done a really bad job at giving them Jesus. Like, we're giving them church, we're giving them a coffee, we're giving them lights or smoke or whatever, fog machine. We're giving them a good show, but there's no encounter happening to where there's actually a spirit-to-spirit encounter that happens, where they wake up and something on the inside of them goes, oh, he is real. Oh, God, he really is alive. I don't have to go talk to dead people because he's alive. And this is what we're called to do. We're called to create an atmosphere where encounter happens, where the Spirit of God and the presence of God is so thick in this place, it punches people in the face when they walk in the door. Like, I've seen it. I've seen people walk in the door and they fall out. Just, we were like in Crestview, and like, this was when our like revival just started brewing. And people, like, service hadn't even started yet. Worship practice was over. It was just that time between pre-service prayer was kind of just kicking off. And we had ushers taking water bottles to the back. And all of a sudden, they're just water bottles falling everywhere because they just walked into something that was brewing in the atmosphere, starting to float around. It sounds kind of mystical and weird, but if his presence is there, that means he is there. And he is the one that we're after. We're not just after the goosebumps. We're not just after this. We're not just really after that falling out experience, but that's just a manifestation that he's in the room. And if he's in the room, anything can happen. Filling up is different than conditioning your appetite. Changing your appetite can take as short as a week. Do you know that? It's okay if you feel like, I'm not really hungering after God. It can take as quick as a week for you to change what you're hungering and thirsting for. We talked about this morning the gift of hunger, and Pastor Chris has a really cool testimony about how he's encountered God and how he's in, like, how the gift of hunger can come and move you into a place where you have the gift of tears when you read the Bible, and there's just a hunger and like this, I don't want to say natural, but like this supernatural desire for the things of God. And because of my upbringing, I like to kind of talk about the other side of things when it's not something supernatural, but it's actually something that I have to choose. I decided very early on in my walk with God that I was going to worship him with everything I had, no matter what, whether I felt him, whether I liked the song, whether I was feeling the worship, whether it was my church or somebody else's church, whether I was tired or not. And the reason, this is my brain goes like, because he doesn't let me feel. He's not like giving me, you guys, Christianity is not just feelings. We can't make decisions as simple as lifting our hands and lifting our voice to him just because you feel like it. He probably didn't feel like walking up that hill with a cross on his back and blood running down his face and the nails in his hands. He probably was feeling like, I'd like to take a break right now. I'm just tired. but he went all the way for you. And it's so, I just made the decision that it's the least I can do, that I don't care how tired my body might feel, I'm gonna jump. Body, soul, you will bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Like, body, you're going to worship him because he gave his body for you. So I'm going to give my body for him. So when my body doesn't feel like it, I'm like, too bad. Sorry. You don't have a choice. Because I'm a slave to righteousness. I'm not a slave to sin. I'm not a slave to what my flesh might want to do. We are in a time right now, we are entering into a new era where it is mandatory that we are walking in an appetite that is constantly filling up from the Word of God and relationship with Him. I'm going to just give a couple things. You could write these down, and maybe later on when we do something else, you can take these before the Lord. But we need to trade some appetites. We need to give some appetites away and ask the Lord to give us a new appetite and even condition ourselves. We need to trade our appetite for apathy to zeal. And let me tell you something. I know God removed me from Canada for a season so that I could see clearly when I came back. There is an apathy on the church here. There is a sleepiness and a very whatever, like we'll just soak type of mentality that's on the body of Christ. You're like, we're kind of lazy. We're sleepy and we're very apathetic. And the Bible says that the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. That if fervent prayers does a lot, I believe that passivity does very little. Is that fair to say? Is it fair to say that if I sit back and do nothing, that that's passive and probably not going to do anything? But if I'm zealous and I'm going after God with fervency and passion, that moves things in the atmosphere. That moves heaven in a way that I can't when I'm just chilling. We got to wake up from chilling. We don't have time to chill anymore. We need to trade the appetite for apathy for zeal. Let's do that right now. Just lift your hand. Say, God, forgive me for my apathy. Forgive me for taking the back seat. Forgive me for being lukewarm. I release that to you, and I ask that you would infuse me with a fresh filling of zeal, with an infilling of fervency, that I would be passionate when I pray, that my worship would be on fire, and that my evangelism would be contagious. In Jesus' name. Let's do another one. We need to trade our appetite for religion for relationship. We need to lay down the boxes and we need to lay down. Listen, you guys, the more I learn about Jesus, I'm like, I don't know anything. I've been doing it all wrong. Every time I read anything about what he did, I'm like, why did nobody ever tell me this? Why am I just finding this out for myself? We really don't know. We don't know him. I mean, I'm about to say the opposite thing in a minute here, so I don't want to contradict myself. But he will blow our minds. And I think what I'm trying to say is that we have to keep a childlike faith. We have to stay in a place of there's so much more to know of him. We can't just have it all figured out. Because I know what it's like to be a Pharisee. Man, I've been saved for probably like 28, 29 years now. And I mean like going after Jesus for 28 years. I never was living in a backslidden state. I never ran away from the Lord. I've been chasing him down. And I thought I knew it all. I got to a point where I was like, I know my opinion about that. I know my theology about that. I know exactly what God would do in this situation. I mean, I could pretty much be God and judge everybody here. And I wrote this song called The One Who Stays. And I went through this dark night of the soul, which, man, I need to stop talking about everything right now. At 6:30. I have so much more to talk about. I'll go down this rabbit trail real quick. It was the dark night of the soul. It was the dark. Can you make some spooky music? No, just joking. It was the dark night of the soul. I'm trying to set a stage. A few years ago, I was planning on talking about everything in my life. I was sitting on a stage. Damon Thompson, for those of you who don't know, it was like Dutch Sheets, Damon Thompson, John Kilpatrick, and all these other like really awesome men of revival. We're on this big platform, and I was sitting up there with Chris and some of other other people. And I was sitting there, and with Damon, for those of you who don't know, he's okay, spiritual father, apostle of ours. He's one of those kind of men that just everywhere he goes, revival breaks out, like fiery revival, passion, miracles, signs, wonders. Like his first time ever getting up and preaching, they went into like a year of revival services for like every night. And his life has just been that way. So he's a huge part of why we are the way we are. But so back over here. So I'm sitting on the stage, and Damon Thompson, normally when we were in Gulfstream Revival, for those of you who don't know, 2014, we went into 9 months, was it 9 months, of revival, where we had services every night for, I think, three or four, I don't even remember. I know I was doing probably 5 services of 4 hours of worship every service. I got vocal nodules, that's a whole nother story. God's redeemed me, woo, healed me completely. I don't struggle anymore. So I'm sitting on the stage, and back in the day, Damon would always call me up and have me do altar time. And for me, a huge part of my identity became being a daughter of his, or being this worship leader that was part of this big revival. And I was sitting on the stage, and I said to the Lord, man, I really am tired of needing that. I just want to need you, and you're not giving me what I want. Because, so over here again, side story. For me, I'm not an emotional person. For those of you who have not heard this before, God does not interact with me in that way where I feel all the time. I later on realized through this dark night of the soul that I'm not really a feeler. I'm not really a seer. I'm not really a hearer, but I'm a knower. So he speaks to me through my thoughts. He speaks to me through knowing. And that is frustrating sometimes, because you want to feel goosebumps to know that was him. But then you can have people that feel goosebumps because the air conditioning is on them. So I just knew that God was training me to not live my life on a roller coaster. And I asked God a long time ago, why won't Heidi Baker, who knows Heidi Baker? She has this radical encounter. You know, she's just stuck to the floor for a week, and like literally somebody had to help her go to the bathroom. And I'm like, oh God, like I've been on fire for you since I was in grade 7. Do you know what I would do for you if you would give me that kind of encounter that I could like absolutely not deny? Like just slam me against the wall, do something to me that I could like not deny was you. I couldn't blame it on anything else. And he said to me, Nikki, I'm raising you up to be one that I can trust. That's not going to go with an emotion. I'm raising you up to be somebody that is stable, steady, and constant, that whether you're feeling me or not, I know you're going to obey me. And so it was healthy for me to not get that. I didn't like that, of course. Fast forward 15 years later, I'm at the stage and I'm just like, I'm tired. That answer isn't good enough anymore. I want something else from you. And it kind of spiraled me into this dark night of the soul where I started to, and I think that this, it was all the Lord reevaluating my belief system. Why do I believe what I believe? Do I believe it just because people told me it, or because he made himself real to me? All of the hard questions I finally started to ask the Lord. You know, Chris would walk into the bathroom and be like, I think you should preach on Sunday. I'm like, I don't think I believe anything that I would preach right now. I don't know what I believe. You know, I was one of those like, God, you have to move, and I don't know what I believe. And if you say I'm your daughter, but you're not treating me like you treat other daughters, I can be a worker for you. If you want me to just work for you, I'll work for you. But if you want me to be the daughter, I needed that encounter. I need a feeling. And later on, and I'll be honest, I'm still believing God that he's going to knock me out one day. I've actually never been slain in the spirit, believe it or not. I've never had that encounter. But I believe that God has done that on purpose, because there's a lot of people in this room that think that you're not special, or because that God doesn't want to encounter you, or that you're not one of those people just because you haven't had that kind of encounter. And I want you to know that you do know him, that you do hear him, and he has encountered you. It's just not in the same way that other people have, and it's not attached to an emotion. And because it's not attached to an emotion, he can trust you that you're going to be stable, steady, and constant. Does that make sense? I know I'm speeding through because I wasn't really planning on talking about that. So we need to trade our appetite for religion for relationship. So just in a nutshell, to tie all of that together, we cannot be Pharisees. I thought I knew it all. God delivered me. One of the things that he showed me in that dark night of the soul was that I was a Pharisee. Because what happens when you're in the dark night of the soul is he strips everything away. He strips feeling away. He strips every gushy thing that you can get to make you think that everything is good. He strips everything away. So you're standing like naked in this mirror looking at the real you. You can't cover it up with a corporate feeling, a corporate anointing, or anything that's going on in the room. It's like he just... It felt like he had left me, but what he did was he took me into the wilderness. And in the wilderness is where you find who you are. The Holy Spirit is the one that led Jesus into the wilderness. We talk about the wilderness like it's like a terrible thing. And it sucks to go through sometimes. But then after you're done processing, you're like, I never want to leave the wilderness. But I'm not talking about the wilderness. See, this is the problem. This is what happens when you make me preach 2 hours before I'm supposed to preach. I don't have it all together. But we need to trade our appetite for religion, for church, just doing the thing. Really get delivered of a Pharisee mindset. Really remember you don't know it all and come like a child. Because you cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven unless you come like a child. That's serious. That is serious. So I just don't know anything anymore. We need to trade our hunger. Okay, so let's ask God. Lift your hands. Jesus, I repent for any Pharisee mindset, for being a know-it-all, for maybe thinking I've been saved for so long that I've got it all figured out, that I know what to do, and I release the religion. I repent for being religious, and I just want relationship with you. In Jesus' name. We need to trade our hunger and thirst for fleshly fulfillment to righteousness. Fleshly fulfillment to righteousness. Fleshly fulfillment. I could totally do the right things in my own right. I know how to make right choices. That's my self-righteousness. I'm making right choices on my own and in our own boasting, in our own pride, which is another thing that he revealed to me, all the other ugly things inside, when he delivered me from me, when he delivered me from my selfishness, when he delivered me from my self-righteousness, when he had to show me, wow, Nikki, you really think you've got it all figured out, don't you? And we need to trade that for taking on the righteousness of Christ, like something you wear that you didn't make, that you didn't own, that you didn't earn. But you put it on, just like you put Christ on. We need to trade our appetite from doing what we have always done to doing the new thing for this season. That kind of ties into religion. Sometimes they say religion is just doing the same thing, expecting a different result, which is the same definition of insanity. But God is doing a new thing in our lives and in our hearts. You know, sometimes God wants to take you to a different restaurant. You know, sometimes there's a new spot that he wants to romance you in. So that ties in really well with the actual thing I wanted to talk about today. I think I might sing this song real quick. Can we worship for a minute? I'm going to use this mic. Let's play that song. Cam? Is he here? Can you come play? Yeah. Yes. So we talked about first love last week, and we've been talking about it all day today. And this is a song that I wrote when I was just loving on Jesus in that place, that secret place. And I'm going to explain it. We're going to put the words on the screen, and I just want you to just to listen or stand or get on your face. Just do whatever you feel led to do, but I just want to worship for a minute. So can I just follow the Lamb wherever He goes? Would You make an exception? Let me hear the secret song that those who just were bought from the earth can sing. Can I just follow the Lamb wherever He goes? Would You make an exception? Let me learn the secret song that those who just were bought from the earth can sing. Is there a place for me in Your throne room where I can sing? Is there a place for me just to sing to You? Just sit at Your table every time. Would You make an exception and let me see Your face just one and only one time on this earth, oh God? Can I just sit at Your table every time? Would You make an exception and let me see Your face just one and only one time on this earth, oh God? Oh, is there a place for me in Your throne room where I can sing? Is there a place for me just to sing to You? So I was singing this to the Lord. Years later, I'm struggling, like I just said, in that dark night of the soul, thinking, God, do you even love me? Do you hear my songs for you? Do you hear my prayers? Do you feel my love for you? I feel like you're so far away. And this lady in Cross City, her name is Brenda came to us and said that her daughter was born with a disease where all of her organs were shutting down. I can't remember the name of it, but she was now a teenager and she was dying. And the doctors were saying that there's no hope for her. And Brenda had been touched by my music before, and so she was praying and believing, and she said the Lord said to her, throw Nikki at the devil like a spear. And so she put this album on, and over the 12 hours that night, her daughter's body started to come back alive and her organs started to respond, and she turned around completely just through worship being in the atmosphere, just from the presence of God being played over her. That's not even like the most amazing part. Listen to this, guys. This is crazy. It's crazy. 2 years later, Brenda comes to us and she has 2 brain tumors. And because of what had happened 2 years prior, she had a faith inside of her that God was going to do something. And my music was very special to her because of what God had done in their lives through it. So she was believing and praying, and she goes to the hospital the day of her surgery. They're going to do brain surgery. They're going to take out the tumors. So they put her out, and her husband goes into the chapel that day. And he's praying while she's in surgery, and he's just praying and praying, and all of a sudden he can hear my music playing in the chapel, and to the point where it was audible. He thought somebody else in the hospital was playing my music in their room. He got up and started to walk down the halls looking to find where my music was coming from. Okay, so now Brenda's out. She's having surgery. This is actually something I've never shared publicly because it is so holy and it's so special to me. But she has this outer body experience. So she is out under surgery and she goes to heaven. She goes to the throne room of God. And she's standing there before the Lord and he's just ministering to her. And she says, she can hear my music playing in the throne room. And she said, I know Nikki. And God said to her, oh, I know Nikki very well. You guys have no idea how much that meant to me. She had no idea because of what I had been just struggling with me and the Lord. I had just been like, God, do you even hear my song? I didn't even remember this until this week that I asked God, is there a place for me that I can sing to you in your throne room? Is there a place that I can just sing to you? It's my heart's desire. Little did I know that this lady that has brain tumors is going to go to heaven, have an encounter with the Lord, and come back and have no brain tumors anymore. This is the power of intimacy. This is what we're created for. We're not created just to have intimacy with the Lord so that we can just sit in a room and just be Him and us and us and Him. It's meant to flood everybody and touch everybody around us. It's supposed to break bondages off of people. It's these kinds of encounters. It's supernatural. It's nothing that I could ever do. I want to explain this this song to you because it doesn't really make a lot of sense if you don't know these scriptures. And I've learned over the years not to assume everybody knows what I'm talking about, because I'm a poet and I don't even know it. Revelation 14:3. Listen to this. This is the Passion Translation. If you have an issue with it, just read it in your translation later. Revelation 14, 3. He says, then I looked and behold, so this is John. He's having an encounter. Then I looked and behold, there was a lamb standing on Mount Zion. We're talking about being enthroned, being enamored by the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, who takes away brain tumors. Mount Zion is not just a place, but it's actually a realm where God's people are clothed with glory and beauty. It's a place of intimacy, and Mount Zion is a place of his presence. So gathered with him were 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a tremendous sound coming out of heaven like the roar of a waterfall and like the ear-splitting sound of a thunderclap. The sound of music that I heard was like the sound of many harpists playing their harps. And they were singing a wonderful new song before the throne in front of the four living creatures and in front of the 24 elders. Here it is. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed free from the earth. These are the ones who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins, and they join themselves to the Lamb wherever he goes. So I read this and I was like, can you just make an exception and let me just hear the song? I just want to hear that secret song that only they're allowed to hear. And then I went a little further and I said, can I just sing? I just want to sing the secret song. I don't know what the song is, guys. Maybe I've sung it. Maybe I was singing it in heaven when that lady's brain tumors fell off. I don't know. Maybe I'll never know it. But my desire to just be with him and to hear, my heart's desire is just, can you just make an exception? I know that you said that nobody could see your face and live. But can you just make an exception and let me just see your face just one time on this earth? And that's going to be my heart's desire until the day that I actually see his face, because I have yet to see his face. But it's through this heart of intimacy. Hebrews 12:22, and I think we'll just maybe go back into singing this song and we'll just worship for a bit. Hebrews 12:22 says, by contrast, we have already come near to God in a totally different realm, the Zion realm. For we have entered the city of the living God, which is in the New Jerusalem in heaven. We have entered. It is here, you guys. This kingdom realm, this presence, Mount Zion, is in this very room for us to encounter. This secret place, this intimacy, this place that only secrets are shared. I mean, that's a very, like, fear. The story I shared with you guys, like, when she was telling me this story of her encounter with the Lord, was trembling. She had, the fear of the Lord was all over her. And at me, even me listening, I'm like, I don't even know how to repeat this. After she got the brain surgery, she couldn't speak and she couldn't write. Well, I did. I said, well, did I make it clear that they opened her skull and the brain tumors were gone? Okay. She didn't have any brain tumors. She woke up and the brain tumors had completely depleted. They cut her open while she was in heaven. And when she woke up, the brain tumors were gone. I thought, they were gone. I thought I said that. Sorry. Well, I said it was a punchline, but I think you guys thought I had meant something else. I punched fast. I'm sorry, I'm a fast puncher. So she had no brain tumors when she was under. But when she woke up, she couldn't speak and she couldn't write. And so because of the because of opening her up. And that's just normal when you have brain surgery. There's just some things that kind of happen like that. And they say over time it'll come back. We had come just like maybe a month or two after her surgery. We had come to that area to preach and minister. And Chris was preaching. And he said, and she was listening over live stream. And Chris said, okay, I want you guys to, he was preaching on the kingdom. And he said, I want you guys to take out a pen and paper. And so she, out of faith, did it at home, took out a pen and paper, and all of a sudden was able to write down everything that he was saying. There was just this, like, miraculous faith on her. And it's, I feel like it's just the faith that's inside of her to believe God. You know, and God can use vessels like us for that. Like, it's not like there's really anything powerful about me, but she knows that God can use anything. And she had faith to believe that he was moving through the music, that he was moving through her. And so we can have that right now. And when we talk about returning to our first love, when we talk about being hungry, are you guys hungry to see this in your personal life? Are you ready to change your appetite so that you're cultivating an atmosphere on the inner courts of your heart so that he can ask anything of you and you'll do it? I'm going to go back into this song, and I'm just going to, unless you had anything, Chris, did you have anything? Are you guys good? Is this okay? Let's just worship for a little bit. And then if you guys have anything kind of while we minister, but let's just, number one, let's just return to our first love and our first works. And then number two, let's cultivate an appetite and a hunger. Let's ask God for the gift of hunger. Let's ask him, God, I want to wake up in the morning thinking about you. I want to wake up in the morning with your word on my heart. I want to wake up in the morning desiring your presence, desiring you, worshiping you without even realizing it. I want my husband to be able to say, man, Nikki, you were speaking in tongues while you were sleeping. I want the hunger and the passion on the inside of me to grow. Come on, if that's you, let's just stand. Let's just sing this. If you want to come to the front, if you want to kind of make a place where just you and God can get intimate for a minute, you want to sing this song, make it your own. Let's just get intimate with the Lord for a bit.
Can I just follow the Lamb wherever he goes? Would you make an exception? Let me hear the secret song that those who just were bought from the earth can sing. Can I just follow the Lamb wherever he goes? Would you make an exception? And let me learn the secret song that those who just were bought from the earth can. See your face just one and only one time on this earth, oh God, oh. Can I just sit at your table every time? Would you make an exception and let me see your face just one and only? Just
Isn't that good? Man, oh man. Awesome job, Nikki. That was an amazing word. Very, very powerful. Amazing songs that even take me back to first love. And Nikki wrote that song about 10 years ago. It is on iTunes if you want it. I'll give a little shout out for it. Sound of Rain, Nikki Mathis. It is on iTunes, that album. But yeah. Lord, we pray for a grace of hunger to hit this house. Supernatural hunger, Holy Spirit, that it would ignite something in us. Father, that we would have that longing desire, that desperate desire for you above everything else in our life. Jesus, you are the desire of the nations. God, we want to be like the psalmist that says, just as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul longs for you, Jesus. Father, we want to be known before your throne, famous before your throne. God, we pray that as we leave here, that our hearts would stay engaged, that our spirit and soul would stay connected. God, that we would do, even as Nikki taught tonight, just the practical applications of readjusting our appetite over the course of this next week. Readjusting, Father, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Come on, why don't you give the Lord one more hand clap tonight? Amen, amen. I love Nikki's preaching. So good. So good. Awesome. Well, why don't you guys love on each other? Bless one another.